we had 15 people who I'm not looking at the thing. I'm trying to remember the exact count, but in other words, we did have two-thirds of the people voting, two-thirds of the entire LSB voting in that election, and we did have a two-thirds two-thirds of the members voting in the election. Two-thirds who voted to the affirmative that she should be removed as a delegate from the WPFW LSB.
Sean, to the stack when appropriate.
Rico, to the stack.
All right, I'm going to recognize George now. George, you analyzed this whole situation. Can you please explain your analysis?
Yeah. Madam Chair, may I cite one other thing to complement what Brown has said?
You're out of order.
Go ahead.
Mask in the chair.
Yeah.
I'll defer to AC for a moment.
Go ahead, AC.
We also met the notification requirements. In fact, they were extended for those requirements that we had, and that we had 15 votes in favor, and the rest was not. We only had 17 votes, as he mentioned. One vote was no, and one vote was abstain. So we had to look at this issue. I dealt with it in terms of actual votes. Two-thirds of 23 is 15.3. So we had... Well, that's it for me, George.
Okay. To you, George.
Let's begin with Billy Ray. Billy Ray was removed from the board by process in which he got a letter saying that since he hadn't paid dues, he was no longer a member of the foundation and therefore couldn't sit on the board. The bylaws are very clear. To remove a delegate, you have to give them 30 days notice, chance to respond at the meeting, that wasn't done. So Billy Ray is still on that board. The substance of what was reason for removing him was also highly questionable. The bylaws say that service on any committee of 3 hours or more qualifies instead of payment to be a member of the foundation. It doesn't say service on the LSB does not qualify you. It's sort of one of those things in the bylaws which is not clear. Billy Ray was on the LSB for a considerable amount of time, and clearly the intention of the bylaws, it seems to me, was that service on the LSB, if service on the committees of the LSB qualifies, then certainly service on the LSB does, and certainly service on the PNB does. So if the procedures had been followed, those kinds of arguments could have been made, or even the question of whether the payments were made. It's not a cut-and-dried thing. But they weren't, and so Billy Ray is not properly off that board. He had succeeded at the time that the meeting that was held with Luzette. The meeting with Luzette, if you have 23 and you get 15, as AC pointed out, 15 and a third is two-thirds, so they didn't actually get two-thirds, even with 23. Billy Ray's presence would have made it 24, which would have made it a board in compliance with the bylaws. The bylaws say I'll replace people to make a full 24, even if there's no one in line, if no one's been elected. It says you shall replace them. The clear intent is to maintain the size of the PNB. I think in speaking to people who were involved in the bylaws process, that was the clear intent. But also, it's kind of obvious that if you allow the PNB to just sort of get smaller and smaller, a majority can sort of wait until it's been whittled away down to the point where they have two-thirds of what's left. And this is not something that you want to have happen. So I think the clear intention of the bylaws is you need 16 members of a full board in order to remove a director. And again, in any case, even if you don't think that's so, if you think 23 is allowable, I don't think that that's correct. It's still not two-thirds.
Point of information.
Okay, may I respond to that, Grace?
Point of information.
Okay, and I'm next on the stack.
Take a stack, and are you not finished? Are you, George? Did you mention about...
I'm basically finished. Billy Ray should have been on that board. The meeting was improperly held because there were only 23 members, and that's all really all I have to say.
Point of information.
That Eves was taken off.
He had a presentation before others.
He did not resign.
Yeah, I'm going to speak to that, Grace.
Okay.
No,
Let me speak to that as well, since I did say something about that.
Yes.
Eves was removed at an earlier meeting. This is Eves Pointe-du-Jour, if I'm saying that vaguely correctly. Was removed at an earlier meeting when he wasn't present, on the grounds that he didn't want to be on the LSB anymore. There was no evidence in the minutes that that was the case. He said it wasn't the case. If you're going to remove someone as a delegate, you have to give them 30 days notice and allow them to show up to contest it. So Eves couldn't have been removed from the board either properly.
Okay. Now, the people I have on the stack are Rico and Sean, and Lizette had information.
Could we be given the right to make the presentation before people chime in without us, Brown and I, a chance to represent this thing?
I thought you finished your
but the counter charge was George just made the point that his concern should not have been off the board, and as far as he's concerned, 15 out of 23 is not a sufficient balance, both of which are false. So he wanted to not what's the name, but Brown wanted to respond to that, and so did I.
I'll tell you what. There are only two people on the stack before you. I'll just put you on the stack. Actually, there are three. There's Rico, Sean. Lizette, you had a question?
No, I was trying to raise a question about Eve, but it's okay now.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we have Rico, I believe, Sean, AC, and Jim.
Madam Chair, and since we have exactly 26 seconds, I'd like to make a motion to extend by 10 minutes so we can take care of this matter.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any objection to extending time for this agenda item by 10 minutes? Hearing none, the agenda item is extended. Rico, I believe you were next. Rico?
Yes, Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I would like to, if it's possible, yield my time to AC and Jim to actually hear what they have to say, because maybe my concerns will be answered in the process.
You know what? All right, you can yield your time to one of them. Pick which one.
Whichever one of them feels they would like to take that time.
Okay. AC or Jim, which one of you would like to speak?
I would like to say this, is that, number one, when we talk about Billy Ray's service to WPFW, there's no doubt that he was on the LSB, and he came to just about every LSB meeting. He participated in none of the committees, and from time he did a lot of community work on behalf of the taxi cab organization. I have to give him credit for that. He did no work on WPFW's any of WPFW's committees. He did come to one mass committee meeting for about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and that was it. He has not participated at the station as a volunteer. There's no record of him volunteering at the station at all. The only thing he did do was to come to LSB meetings.
Well, point of order.
And when I finish, let me finish.
Point of order.
Let me finish.
Point of order.
George, is this a point of order, George?
Point of order is that this is not germane. The question is, was the procedure followed, not what was the substance of the reasons for removal?
Let me also finish. Billy Ray was disqualified as an LSD member because of the fact that he hadn't paid.
Point of information.
Okay.
Point of information.
Okay. But you know what? Before I recognize anybody else, Jim, are you finished speaking?
No, I just wanted to make that distinction that he was disqualified as an LSD member because he did not pay.
Okay, thank you. Lizette,
for more than 2 years.
Okay. Can I ask the member if the MAS committee is the same committee that these people, Campbell Johnson in particular, decided that Billy Ray was not a member, and they're holding meetings in Jim Brown's office at Howard University so that Billy Ray does not attend? Is this the same MAS committee?
Awesome.
The MAS committee had been meeting the last 2 years at that office. It was not held at that office to stop Billy Ray from being there. We notified everyone where we met. You know that.
Lie.
I don't know why you want to bring that in, because that's not your main.
Okay, that's fine. Let's have some order. The next person on the stack is Sean.
Yeah, thank you. First to Billy Ray. Billy Ray's service on the LSD alone, I think, is appropriate, and it does sound like there's some concern over meetings being held in secret and being improperly noticed, and I know as a person that this has happened to on the audit committee, it's very hard to attend meetings if you aren't improperly noticed, and I tend to give the person who wasn't noticed the benefit of the doubt. Now, today I talked to Eve, and Eve did not resign. So Eve should have been on that board, and as George pointed out, Billy Ray should have been on that board, and that would have constituted a much fuller board and would have taken a complete 16 and point whatever votes it takes to get off. So this whole thing has failed because Billy Ray wasn't on the board when he should have been, and Eve did not resign, and I talked personally to Eve today, so none of these expulsions are legal. Thank you.
Rico to the staff.
Okay, the next person
I would need to respond to that also.
No,
Jeff,
he doesn't.
Okay, no.
Back on the
Jim,
stack.
Jim, I'll put you on the stack.
Rico to the stack.
Yes. Yeah, Rico, okay. Go ahead, Rico.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, this whole thing of removing a board member is very worrying to me. And I'm saying I don't care who the board member is, and I would fight just as hard for any member on this board if they were being removed, if it were something that seemed to be as trivial as not paying $25. As a matter of fact, if that is what we're going to start removing people for, I think if we check our records, there are a number of people on the board probably right now that could be removed for that same reason. So that's my real fear, is that's what makes it appear to be something more than just something political. It's because the charge seems to be so insignificant, and especially when we know the amount of times the amount of time that we put as members of this board out of our lives to address the station and are not getting paid for it. That is community service, and no matter how you look at it. The other thing that I found is that if it is political, that's the reason why I find that so worrying, is because it makes me think that people with opposing views are not welcome. And I think that is healthy on any board. And I know people on the PNB and an LSB complain about the different factions and whatnot, but there is an upside to having people with different points of view, too, because they force the board in its entirety to cross all T's and to dot all I's. And so that healthy opposition is necessary, and it's even more necessary on the LSB, I think.
So the cause for removing Billy Ray, I just think was very weak, and could be applied to a lot of people. Saying also that he didn't come to any meetings, while at the same time saying that he's working out in the community. We are a community station. Does that count for nothing? And if we're going to remove people for not being on committees, then did we check to see who else haven't been on committees? Because if we're going to take that, line, you know, we can go a long way, and it's a very dangerous thing for us to be doing. And again, I would say this: I would fight for anybody on this board if they were being removed for something so significant as what it is. And I still want to know why Lizette was removed, because I don't really understand those charges, and I would like to have them explained. Thank you.
George for Stack, please.
Okay, thank you. I would. We have a stack of people who've already spoken, and George is on it. AC is on it. Jim is on it. Sean is on it. Is there anyone who hasn't spoken who would like to speak?
Jamie.
Okay. Anyone else?
And Nia, please. Nia.
Okay. All right. Let's take Jamie first, and then Nia.
Okay, I'd like to say I agree 100% with what Rico said. I find this business of removing board members, whoever they may be on whatever board, quite disturbing. I really, 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 really would like to emphasize to all our LSBs that the LSBs have important jobs to do, and I really hope they can focus on doing those jobs. That will benefit the foundation. You know, and also I could see if there was one person removed, perhaps it would be for a real reason, if there was a real problem there. But if you have three people that are suddenly all removed at the same time, who tend to vote the same way, you know, that just doesn't seem right to me. So I would offer, we don't have a motion on the floor. I suppose we need one. I don't
yes.
know. I would say...
Well, after we do that, we're always rushed off the board by a factional vote.
I would offer as a motion... The PNB finds the removals of, or the attempted removals of Billy Ray Edwards and Lizette King from the PFW Board of Delegates to be not well taken.
Second.
What about Eves?
Okay.
Eves is on the agenda. I don't know. You could add Eves.
Amend it to add Eve to this, because I talked to him today, and he was emphatic in the fact that he did not resign.
I would like to second that.
Okay, so we have a motion and an amendment. Is there any objection to adding Eves to Jamie's motion?
Yes, I don't know what the Eve issues are. I object.
We have not been allowed, Madam Chair, the right to, as due process, people are making decisions without us answering certain questions.
We are at time.
And the allegations
okay.
that people are making
okay.
false.
All right. I hear you. I hear you, AC.
Point of order. Point of order. Jamie, please send me that. This is Richard. Thank you.
Okay. I hear you, AC. As I recall, there was I wrote a note to Eves asking if he had resigned, and he said no, he hadn't, and I forwarded that to the PNB. Now, AC, if you would like to speak to that, first you need to put forward a motion to extend time.
I put forward a motion to extend 15 minutes.
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection?
Object.
Okay. Let's go to a roll call vote.
Madam Chair, may I make a substitute motion to extend for 10 minutes?
Okay.
Second.
All right.
Second.
Is there any
Object.
Objection to extending for 10 minutes?
Object.
Okay. Let's go to a roll call vote on the substitute motion to extend for 10 minutes. Richard?
Okay, the vote to extend for 10 minutes. Rico Ross?
Yes.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Sandra Rollin?
Yes.
Wendy Terrell?
Yes.
Susan Young?
Yes.
Ibadiyako?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
No.
Kathy Davis? Kathy Davis? Jamie Ross?
Kathy abstains.
Okay. Jamie Ross. Jamie?
Abstain.
Jim Brown.
Yes.
Angie Burris.
Yes.
Zed King.
No.
Billy Ray Edwards.
Yes.
David Beaton.
No.
Jerry Gindelman.
Yes.
Bonnie Simmons.
Yes.
Andrea Turner.
Oh.
Andrea, was that a yes?
Yes, yes, Richard.
Oh. Gotcha. Joe Wenzala. Sean O'Brien.
In light of all the budget work we have to do, no.
Leslie Radford. Okay. 12-4-2.
Okay, so the motion passes. We will extend, it's a substitute motion, so we will now extend this discussion for 10 minutes. And we have the next person on the stack is Nia.
Yes, thank you. I was going to say, I understand what Rico said about just maybe willy-nilly getting people off the board. I do understand that, but I just wanted to make it clear about the bylaws, that the bylaws does not count time spent on local station board meetings, although, and on the PNB, and God knows we've been meeting every other week on the PNB. So I think that this really goes to the point that we really need to change the bylaws, and then
yep.
Maybe we won't have so much confusion around all of this. I mean, we have bylaws now, and they still get violated, but I think on this the bylaws are pretty clear, and we should have the bylaws change. Thank
Good point.
Okay. Is there anyone who hasn't spoken who wishes to speak?
Billy Ray.
Yes. Okay, Billy Ray, I'm recognizing you.
And Carolyn.
It is, this conversation is very interesting. You know, like Jim Brown admitted that, you know, I've been going to WPFW meetings since we took back the station in 98-99, somewhere like that. Up until today, I missed only one. And he also pointed out that I'm very active in the community. And last night, I almost got locked up for being active in the community, trying to allow the community to have seats at WPFW LSB to be the governing body for that station. And police was called on me, and I was threatened, you know, to remove from the station or be locked up, that sort of thing, at a Pacifica station. All because of, you know, they say that I'm not a volunteer. I was one of the highest fundraisers for WPFW Radio in the early days. And I kept that station alive on my back, on my own. That Nap Turner and them, when I joined the old LAB, they said, Billy Ray, you know, I told them I'm a taxi driver. And they said, well, you don't have to pay any money. We're giving you an honorary membership to WPFW Radio for life. And I, you know, I didn't take it that way. I followed the rules. I put the $25 down to run for the election to the LSB. It did not say in the bylaws that I had to continue to pay the $25. It did not say that. But I was eligible when I ran for the position, and it was a 3-year position as far as I'm concerned. That's the end of that. I am surprised, you know, that these two issues tie together, the D.C. taxicab industry and the WPFW radio, simply because I became a slave in 2007. I haven't been able to pay my dues of $25, as simple as that may be, or mundane as that may be. I haven't been able to pay it because I don't have the money. I'm living from day to day now. And, you know, for you to say that the commitment that I've gave to WPFW, that I'm not a member, hey man, I understand that I'm having problems even to get the issue of the DC taxicab industry on the radio station. I'm in a losing battle on two issues. The one is the mission of Pacifica and the DC taxicab industry. I am a community activist, and I've been that way for the last 30 or 40 years involved with WPFW Radio and now the Pacifica National Board. And I'm glad
of all my accomplishments that I was able to be instrumental in the election of the executive director, Ms. Arlene Engelhardt. I have no problem with whatever you may do, but I intend to listen and cast my vote as I feel is sufficient. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Billy Ray. Okay, the next person is Carolyn.
Thank you. I want to support Rico's analysis and comments very strongly. He's absolutely right. If we start turning over some rocks, I think we'll be very unhappy about what we find with regard to payment here. And I'm not sure which bylaw Nia is referring to, and I'd appreciate a reference to look at. I'm not sure that she's interpreting that one correctly. But in the meanwhile, we need to look very carefully at this question of people on committees. Also, being a member of the board is sufficient. And committee membership is required of P&B members, not required of LSB members. And if we want to make it such a requirement, then we need to do that. But to turn around and say that somebody is not eligible because they haven't been on committees, I think we have a serious problem here. So these reasons, so-called, are serious. We need to ignore them. I firmly support the validation of these people's memberships on the board of WPFW. Thank you.
Okay. We have completed the stack of people.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
George, you had me on the stack, and you never called me.
You know, AC, I'm going. I'm taking a stack of people who had not spoken before,
right.
And then I will allow people who have spoken before to speak a second time, or in your case, a third or fourth time. I'm not sure how many times you've spoken, but Susan,
oh, we were
you
here
wish to speak.
Yeah, I wish to speak.
Okay, go ahead, Susan.
As whether I feel the people have participated adequately or not. We have been through these questions at KPFT that pertain to both removal of Uzette and to the question of ongoing membership that pertains to Billy Ray. And I do not believe that the LSB has met the proper burden to remove. However, I know squat about the whole Eve deal, and so if that amendment is attached, I will abstain.
Okay, very good. Now, if no one else who hasn't spoken comes forward, I will go to
Dave, to the stack.
Okay, Dave, go ahead.
You're running out the clock. That's what it always happens.
Wait a second. You have a stack.
That's right.
The stack started
okay.
Earlier.
You know, I don't know what to say, AC, about there is Robert's Rules.
We ought to be able to present our case. If you cut us off halfway in midterm, all these questions coming up, we can't answer them.
Okay, so, Dave, can you keep it brief, then?
Yes, I'll keep it brief. I support George's analysis. Whether we have to remove people or not, we need to do it by proper procedure. Sometimes there may be a case where we do need to remove somebody, but we need to do it with proper procedure. Clearly, proper procedure was not followed in this instance. That's
point
all.
Of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Rico.
I thought one of the main reasons for extending this was so that they could present their case.
Yeah, well, I will allow AC now
to
rebut what has been said. Go ahead, AC.
First of all, what should be understood that this is in the bylaw. it states in the bylaw under section I think it's 3, that membership term shall be considered rolling and it calculated forward from the last date of the Members Qualifying Act. For example, if a listener sponsor member make a $25 contribution on January 1, 2003 and does not make any additional contribution or volunteers at least 3 hours within the following 12 months, said members would expire on December the 31st. So it gives you 1 year to clear that. And that's what happened. Billy Ray, as Brown pointed out, hadn't made a payment since 2007. The fact that he came to the meeting is commendable. I like that. But the fact of the matter is it did not follow the rules. It did not volunteer, was not on a committee, and did not pay dues. And the bylaws require that that be done. And I'd like to address one other thing. And this is in the bylaws, by the way. That's why George is incorrect. And on the other hand, we are a, as you know, an organ of the PNB. We have every decision that we've made with regard to Billy Ray and with regard to Lucette has been shot down by the PNB without any due process involved in us trying to be able to explain everything. I don't think that the PNB should be thrown out of the window whatever 24 members have to say. We had 23 members of the LSB. We took a vote, and we cast 15 votes out of 17 present. It did not. That's two-thirds. You can call it what you want. That is two-thirds. And he, as a physicist, should know that. Now, I don't understand why he doesn't know that. So the question is that we ought to be given some consideration on this. And people shouldn't be voting by faction to determine whether we are right or wrong. They should be voting by the bylaws of the of Pacifica Foundation. We're not removing people. We're not removing people because of the fact that they didn't do this or they didn't do that. We're removing them on the basis of the bylaw of this foundation. Period.
Thank you, AC. We're now out of time for this agenda item.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
And point of information, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Rapidly, because we're out of time. Even points of information
Carol,
are not
first.
Really in order after
Thank
time
you.
Is, has expired.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a point of information. Is the member claiming that Billy Ray Edwards did not do 3 hours of service in the year preceding?
No, not 3 hours of service. As
therefore, he is a member. Thank you very much. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay,
my point of
Carolyn, I don't think AC answered your question in a way that he, that indicated that he understood it. But anyway, Rico, go ahead.
I'd like to know if that LSB know has the information of whether any other members had not filled those same requirements, and also if it is the $25 that is such a burden for the LSB, that I would be welcome to pay the 2 years $25 and satisfy this whole thing and stop using the board's
okay.
On a clarification.
All of this is now out of order. We're out of time. It would take a 2/3 vote to extend time. We need to go over budgets tonight. We have to think of the foundation and what needs to be done to have this foundation function. So we're going to go to a roll call vote on the issue of adding Eve,
I'll read the motion, Madam Chair, if you'd like.
Yes, go ahead.
The PMB finds the attempted removal of Billy Ray Edwards, Lucette King, Eve Pontejure, from the WPFW Board of Delegates to not be well taken.
Okay.
I have a substitute.
Sure. All right. We're out of time. We have to go to a vote for this. Richard, did we already? There were two motions. One was
Jamie's
motion. One was an amendment. The amendment was to add E.
You asked at the time if there were there any objections, in it, and nobody objected.
Okay. Very
no, she
good.
Didn't.
No, I don't
believe that's correct.
Okay, we can do the amendment first.
Okay, let's take a roll call vote on the amendment.
And don't forget I have a motion.
This is for the amendment, right?
Yes.
There were no objections. A point of information, I thought there was no objection to adding
there
was.
Yes, there was.
Okay.
Yeah, it never came to that.
The amendment is to add Eve to the earlier motion by Jamie Ross. Okay, this is for the amendment. This is for the amendment. Sherry Gindelman.
No.
Bonnie Simmons.
No.
Andrea Turner.
Yeah, I don't know about Eve. No.
Joe Wenzala.
Don't know about
Sean. Okay, please, folks. Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford. Rico Ross. Rico?
Yes.
Can't hear you, Rico.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. George Ryder?
Pass.
I didn't hear that vote.
Pass. Sandra Rollin?
Yes.
Wendy Srell?
Yes.
Susan Young? Susan Young?
No. Sorry, no.
No, okay. Nia Bediako?
No.
Carolyn Burton?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Jamie Ross?
Yes.
Jim Brown?
No.
AC Bird?
For this.
I'd say no, and I won't be noted in the minutes.
Lucette King. Lucette King.
Yes.
Lucette. Billy Ray Edwards.
Yes.
Dave Beaton.
Yes.
Fiat Wangaza. George Ryder.
Yes.
Okay. That's 11 yes. And 7 no.
There is one pass.
Okay, the motion passes. And now we'll read the... Richard, please read the main motion as amended.
Okay, the main motion as amended is the PMB finds the attempted removal of Billy Ray Edwards, Lucette King, and Yves Font de Joux, from the WPFW Board of Delegates to be not well taken.
Okay. Now let's take a roll call vote on that amended motion.
Okay. Jim Brown.
No.
AC Bird.
No, and I'd say the same thing. I'm taking this up further legally.
Who said King? Oh.
Yes.
Billy Ray Edwards.
Yes.
Dave Beaton. Dave
yes.
Beaton. Fia Wangaza.
Yes.
Sherry Gindelman.
Why pass?
Bonnie Simmons.
Freedom. Pass and two.
Andrea Turner.
Who is Yvette? I don't know. Not pass.
Owen Zala. Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Okay.
Leslie Radford. Rico Ross.
Yes.
George Ryder.
Yes.
Sandra Rollin.
Yes.
Wendy Srell.
Yes.
Susan Young.
Abstain.
Nia Bediako.
No.
Carolyn Burton.
Yes.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Jamie Ross.
Yes.
Sherry Gindelman.
No.
Bonnie Simmons.
No.
Andrea Turner. Andrea.
No, don't know the lady.
Okay, it's not a lady, I don't think. 11 to 6 and 1 abstention. 11, 6, 1.
Okay, very good. That finishes with that item. I just resend
the
email.
Chair, point of information. Does this mean, what does it mean?
It means that the removal of those three people from the LSB of WPFW is invalid. That's what it means. I just resent Eve's reply to my query where he states that he did not resign.
Can I ask then that the LSB and everybody on the recent list be notified of this this decision? Everybody.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes, I would like for it to be noted on the records that this vote was in violation of the bylaws of Pacifica.
I would like to notice that it's in violation of the Pacifica clause.
Okay, Lizette, keep some water. He can. Please know that, Richard. And we're moving on to the next agenda item.
Point of order. I'm not going to write something like that in the minutes. It's his opinion.
AC wanted to put it on the record. Just his statement, and that it's what he feels.
Madam Chair,
now let's continue.
I want it on the record, Richard, and I don't want a non-board member deciding.
Okay.
Not to
right. I show how cooked it is.
Madam okay,
Chair,
Lizette, please order. We're going on to the
next
agenda.
I got to support.
This is all out of order. Please, we're moving on to the next agenda item.
We finished with this one. No more.
We don't have time anymore. The next item on the agenda is the update on the recall elections at WBAI and KPFA. Ricardo, do you have an update for us on that? Are you on the call still? Ricardo?
Yes, I'm on the call. What is it that you would like me to...
This is an update on the recall elections at WBAI and KPFA.
I don't have any information other than on the WBAI election lawsuit, which I would discuss in executive session. I don't know anything about the mechanics of the elections for those two LSBs.
Well, the recall elections at WBAI and KPFA went to John Judge.
Oh, that's right.
Did you have an update for us?
Well, John issued
point of information. What was the date that the John Judge letter was sent to us?
Okay, I don't
John
recall
issued,
a bond.
John issued a legal opinion on Mitch Cohen's petition, and I believe that was circulated to the board.
I didn't find it. I was just trying to find the date.
And he's now working on... Stephen Brown's petition. The board has to take action now, or the board can take action on Mitch Cohen's petition, now that it has a legal opinion on it. That's not the case with Stephen Brown, because that's not ready yet, but it should be soon.
Okay. Is there any
point of information?
Yes.
With the recall elections, were the signatures verified as members?
Okay. The first step was to have a legal opinion gotten. That was the first step.
Let me explain that part. John looked only at whether the language of the petition met the requirements of the bylaws as far as what was needed in order for a member to be subject to recall. He did not look at the technical issues of were there enough people that signed the petition, were the signatures collected properly. He didn't look at any of the technical issues.
Question from Wendy.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Do we know now how much this lawyer is billing us for this legal opinion?
I've not seen his bill. But I expect the second one will be a lot cheaper than the first one, because now he knows what he's working with.
Yeah,
no, to answer your question, I don't know.
I just think that we had an estimate in the beginning that it would cost approximately $1,000 on each one. You know, I just really want people to somehow, whatever this board can do to put forth the idea that people need to think twice before bringing these kinds of actions because they cost the organization money. I still really think that on things like recall, where we've gone through so many hoops for people to get elected, and we do have contention and everything, but still, to initiate a recall costs the organization money. I really think that it should be paid by the people who bring it. You know, and maybe then they'll think twice about bringing frivolous actions. But
well,
anyway, thanks.
This process of having a lawyer look at whether the petition itself meets the requirements of the bylaws is a way to avoid loss to the organization. It's not it's only indirectly with respect to protecting the rights of the board members.
No, I understand. I'm saying even $1,000 is a lot of money. If a person had to pay it, they think that you know that nobody has to pay this stuff. You know, but it costs our listeners money that they're going to
pay.
Okay, Wendy, please. There's not even a stack for this yet. I understand your question. Let Ricardo finish, please.
So that's what I was saying. There was not a look at the technical question. You can look at that as part of deciding whether the recall petition meets the standards of the bylaws. John found that it did, that the language of the recall petition did not. If he's correct, and we'd had an election, a recall election, then correct would have been avoided, except we would have paid $60,000 to hold it.
I'm sorry. What did you say there, Ricardo? We would have had to pay $3,000 to what?
To hold the recall election.
Oh, okay.
Did you say $60,000?
That's what I've heard is an estimate of what it would cost to hold a recall, at least certain recall elections.
Wow. I doubt that it would be that much, but it would certainly be probably more than $10,000. That's a whole other question. We can have a stack or move on to the next agenda item. Are there questions for Ricardo regarding this? There's very little news. You have the legal opinion in your email someplace.
Yeah, Carolyn, on the stack, please. I do have a question.
Yeah. Finally,
okay, Carolyn.
Yeah, when I looked at the petition, eyeballing it, the problems that I had were such that didn't really need a lawyer to resolve. The wording of the petition varied from signature sheet to signature sheet. There was no indication that the people who signed were actually members, no attempt to ascertain that they were actually members. In other words, things that could have been resolved without a legal expense. And I'm wondering why we just didn't look at this and use some common sense rather than go to a legal source. I'm glad we have it. I'm sure it's more certain, and it saves us from yet another frivolous legal action. But still, I think we need to use a little common sense and resolve some of these things on our own without recourse to legal things. This was bogus from the word go, and I think it was obvious to anyone looking at it that there was no validation of the signatures and the petitions were worded differently. People signed different things. People signed things that didn't even have a petition attached to them, and then the signature sheets were attached to something that we were told they had agreed to, but there was no indication that they actually did. You know, it wasn't done the way a regular petition was done. So is there some way in the future we can, you know, kind of avoid this kind of legal expense?
Carolyn, you can take this up with the Governance Committee to reformulate the recall petition procedures.
Yeah.
We went step by step with it, and we took the first step first. This may be rethought of, but yeah, that would have to go back to the governance committee. You might want to speak with George about it.
Sherry, okay. Jack.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Wasn't there anybody ahead of me? No.
I think so.
I have a point of
maybe
information.
Bonnie was ahead of you.
That's okay. Let Sherry go first.
Okay.
Jamie had a point of information.
Yeah, I have a point of information.
Okay, go ahead, Jamie.
Do we make a decision here now? Is that what's on before us?
No. This is just an update on
the board.
Yeah.
It's at the board's pleasure. You can.
Ricardo, would you repeat what you said? I didn't hear what Ricardo said.
I said it is at the board's pleasure as to whether to take action tonight. You don't have to. You can wait until you get Stephen's opinion and handle them both at the same time, or you can do one now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right.
Sherry?
Yeah, I very much appreciate Ricardo's initial advice to us that we should at least determine or have an attorney determine whether or not the legal standard for action adverse to the foundation has been met in terms of the bylaws addressing what the standard is for removal and whatever the attorney costs, assuming that it's, you know, reasonable, is cheaper than going through the procedure and then having to litigate it at the other end because that legal standard wasn't met. So I appreciate your initial advice and for forming it out to someone who is evaluating the charges and comparing it to the behavior to see if that legal standard, the threshold, has been met. And I think it's saving us money, and I think it's a very responsible approach.
Okay. Is there anyone else on the stack?
Was on the stack.
Okay, yes. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yeah, my question was mostly, I think Jamie might have just hit on it, because I think that according to the procedure, we are supposed to make a determination, but I can't hand on the procedure quick enough to see if it needed to be right at the same time. But I suspect that we can do it when we choose to do it. Is John Judge a member of the California Bar, Ricardo?
No.
He's not. He's a member of the Texas Bar.
Is it unusual to have a member of the Texas Bar making opinions about California law?
Yes. No, it's not unusual. The reason I hesitated is because it depends on the issue. The issue of acting in the interests contrary to your principle is a common issue that cuts across all of the various state laws. And of course you have to look at California law, but you're looking at it more broadly than that. You might also look at New York law. You might look at Texas law because we have stations there. And our bylaws are affected by those jurisdictions. So in this case, it's not unusual.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, I would like to remind everybody that we've already spent 2 hours in this meeting. We really need to go on to the Finance Committee. We have a one-hour agenda item so that we can approve budgets. This is crucial to the station's functioning. I would hope that we can move on to that now. If there's nothing pressing, we'll go on to the committee and working groups, reports, and motions. And we did decide that the Finance Committee would take precedence, especially as the vote count in the WBAI LSB election is ongoing, unless Radke is too tired to be on this call tonight. Okay, can we please move to the Finance Committee? All right, Jamie, I'm going to give you the floor, and I'm going to request that you chair this section of the meeting, if that's you. Jamie?
Yes.
Jamie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Would it be all right if you chaired this section of the meeting?
I guess so.
Okay. Well, if you'd like me to chair, just holler, and I'll chair it. But I think it's appropriate for you to chair it. And Luzette, is it that you wanted to say? Okay, never mind. Luzette isn't there. Go ahead, Jamie.
Okay, well, thank you. Yes, Grace is correct. We do have budgets to approve. I sent you all an email a couple of days ago with the budgets up for approval attached. I hope everybody got a chance to open them and look at them. Just a few little points about where we stand, and then we'll go budget by budget. The budget approval process has been quite late this year, but we have National Finance Committee and the local station boards have approved the KPFA, KPFD, and KPFK budgets. So that's what we have. KPFT, this board already approved in Houston, so we have KPFA and KPFK. The National Finance Committee has approved the WBAI budget, though the LSB has not. So we do have the WBAI budget before us to approve, too. However, we have a motion around that as to how to involve the LSB, because there's a bylaws mandate that the LSB approves a station budget, which is kind of complex because that one came so late. The LSB really hasn't had a chance to get on with it. The National Finance Committee has also reviewed the National Office and Pacifica Radio Archives budgets, which are typically approved independently. Those two other budgets we have to deal with. We have not approved them to be sent to the PNB for approval because they're still not complete in that part of those budgets is central service income from all the stations. And since for quite a while two station budgets and still to this day one station budget has not been done and has been barely started, those budgets are not quite complete. However, they should be very easy to complete. We have reviewed them and dealt with a lot of problems. And the last station, the WPFW, we finally saw a draft budget sent to the Finance Committee this Tuesday, which was 3 days ago. We began to look at it. It'll probably undergo further revision. And finally, we looked at an affiliates budget last Tuesday, and basically we referred that back to National Office staff. Okay. So a little bit on the templates. If you all have had a chance to look at the budget, you see their Excel files with quite a few tabs. The most important tab that we're going to look at says the word budget on it. They also include a cash flow, detail on income, payroll, on assumptions, and other items. And advantage of this, and it's a link, things are linked from one page to the next, as Excel files can do. This is for somebody, if you're a little familiar with Excel, this is quite helpful. You can click on a number if you're not sure what it means or why that number is what it is, like why do they say that. You can often click on the number, and the formula will tell you where to go elsewhere in the document that gives further explanation, like it has built-in footnotes. So that being said, that's the background on the budget. Also, I'd like to point out that NFC has been working quite hard on this. We have been dedicated to getting these budgets done. We had to spend quite a bit of time on them, particularly on the WBAI budget, because it actually hadn't been through the LSB yet. So some of the initial lapidary action of the LSB review did not happen, and we had to do that too. So the first budget we're going to move on to is the KPFK budget. First, I'll read you the motion that we passed, and then we'll walk through the budget briefly. On November 3rd, the National Finance Committee moved to recommend that the PNB approve the KPFK budget as presented, with the proviso that CPB revenues be adjusted to match the actual FY 2010 CPB allocation, and that the payback schedule of central services be adjusted as necessary to ensure that the station operations are not compromised at any point during the fiscal year.